Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Well, hello, rally friends, and welcome to a very, very special edition of Spin the Rally Pod. Breaking news today that seems to have taken, well, just about all of the rally world by surprise. And, well, joining me to really try and talk through this, is it seismic breaking news? David Evans, our chief correspondent at Dirtfish. David, let's just try and summarise what this breaking news is. First, basically, I suppose, Tommy Mäkinen in some ways being moved aside Toyota, as in the parent company, taking over the running of the World Rally Program. Is that a little bit too simplified?
I don't think it is, Colin. I think that's pretty much where we're at. Obviously, Toyota Motor Corporation part owns Toyota Motorsport GmbH in Cologne. And that is where the rally program will now be not housed, because it's not going to move to Cologne. That's
not
been made quite
anyway.
Clear. It's been made quite clear that it will remain in Pupula, near Vascula, and in Estonia, in Tallinn. But it will be run by TMG, as we know them. Yeah, go on, you've put your finger up already.
No, I have put my finger up already, because I think it gets very, very complicated. When we start talking TMCs, TMGs,
TMR,
Tommy Mäkinen Racing, it gets very, very complicated. Let's go back. So what we're talking about here, folks, is this bombshell announcement today that really Tommy Mäkinen, he will still remain as a consultant, but he will no longer be the man running the World Rally Team. So what we have to do is try and make some sense of this situation and try and make some or find some clarity in the way that Toyota runs its motorsports in Europe. So we talk about Cologne, which is TMG, is that correct?
Yeah.
Toyota Motorsport Germany.
Now the Cologne, not Germany, it's GmbH.
GmbH, okay, yeah. That's in Germany. The Cologne facility is one of the most advanced motorsport facilities in Europe, and it always has been since it was developed. Now that was bought, built, and committed to by Toyota for their Formula One project.
No, before that, don't forget they ran TTE out there.
TTE, but apparently when they took on the Formula One project, the whole thing was redeveloped.
Oh, yeah, with the wind tunnel and everything.
Absolutely. And what they did, there was an awful lot, I'm told, of local government backing to bring in this wonderful facility, to bring in all these high-paid engineers into the area. And they were supported by the local Cologne authorities. And in return for that, Toyota made a long-term commitment to that factory, which is why when the obvious happened and they pulled out of Formula One, you'd have thought that factory would have closed. It didn't close, and it didn't close because Toyota had a commitment to keep it open. So what happened for quite a number of years with that factory is they basically had all these really clever engineers working there with very little to do. Very little.
But they also hired the wind tunnel out, you know.
They made the most of it. That's absolutely correct. But, you know, they were looking for projects to really fill the space there, to fill the time of the engineers, to justify this massive investment that the Toyota Motor Company had in Cologne. One of the, if you like, the results of that was, if we go back five years, remember TMG, so the Cologne-based engineers actually started working independently on their own World Rally Car program. Mm. And we saw it being tested by the likes of Stefan Sarrazin and many
others.
They built
a 2016 spec car that was stillborn, wasn't it? You know, it was always going to be stillborn, but it was a testing mule for them. And it was disregarded immediately
by Tommy Mäkinen when Tommy Mäkinen got the deal. So the reason we're telling you this is to try and give you some background. Obviously, the
That's the Toyota side of the background. The Tommy side of the background is that Tommy Mäkinen Racing, as it's known in Finland, has long been around, hasn't it? Since he left Subaru, he then set up his own Tommi Mäkinen racing team, which developed and ran Group N Subarus. And I can't remember when that company started, but it was based in Pupula, Tommy's hometown, just north of Jyväskylä. Not particularly big premises, nice premises though. I remember going to the opening of it. And then, which year it was, 2015 Rally Finland, was it? When Akio Toyota came over.
And I can go back a little bit. I can go back to 2014, Rally Australia. Rally Australia, because the relationship between Toyota and Mäkinen is really what kick-started this whole World Rally program, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
Now, after Rally Australia 2014 in Coffs Harbour, basically Toyota hired the Wedding Bell stage. It was top
secret.
No,
we can go back further than that, because that's with the four-wheel drive Toyota GT86.
That's right.
Which Tommi Mäkinen Racing built specifically for Akio Toyota, just to drive and have some fun in. And it was in Finland that he used that car the first time. But was that in 14 that Tommy bought Akio Toyota?
Well, I know it was 14 they hired Wedding Bells, top secret conditions, and they had a week of Toyota
just
and Mäkinen.
But this was part of their Drive the World thing, wasn't it? They took that Toyota GT86, the only four-wheel drive version of the car, all around the world to the best stages in the world. And they drove Oinopoja in that year, and I remember at that time seeing Tommi Mäkinen leading this group of Japanese people from Toyota Motor Company, led by Akio Toyota, and just the looks on their faces of sheer excitement and exhilaration. And I think it was the only time that Tommy saw me and ignored me, didn't even acknowledge me, because he had clearly had far, far more important things to deal with in that moment. And he dealt with them very well. And you're quite right. It was his relationship with Akio Toyota that got Toyota back into WRC. And for so long, Colin, you know, all the way through 2016, everybody was saying, it'll never happen. It can't happen. We are so far away. You know, the car is nowhere, because obviously once the deal was done in, what was it, probably late 15, then they had to create a team that...
I'll tell you when it was. It was almost this exact date in 2015. Almost this exact date. It was mid to late September, and they had between now, so this was, and you know, they had round about 15 months between the deal being done.
But they didn't start testing till about March, did they?
Absolutely,
March or April?
Absolutely. I spoke to someone very senior in Toyota about this just a week or two ago, because we were talking about, can you develop an R5 car if regulations change? And he reminded me, we started the work on the 2017 car this time in 2015.
It would be no problem. So nobody really gave them much of a hope. And look what they did. You know, first time out, second place with Jari Matti and Monti, and then winning in Sweden. Manufacturers' Championship in 18, Drivers' Championship in 19, and now this.
Now
this. Bombshell.
Yeah, it is a bombshell. It is a bombshell. And, you know, it's difficult to work out. Listen, the way that the Japanese do things is quite different, and their thinking and their philosophies and you know, their timing and sometimes their understanding of perhaps how announcement will be received can be quite different. For me, the biggest surprise this morning was the timing of it. The whole thing was a surprise, but the biggest surprise was the timing. We have two rounds to go, maybe three, probably two rounds to go this year. It does look as if Mäkinen will take at least one more world title. Odds on, one of his drivers will win the Drivers' Championship. We'll see what happens with the manufacturers. I don't understand why they didn't wait till the end of the year, because all of this bombshell sudden announcement does is it provokes all sorts of speculation. It seems as if it's a...
But that won't destabilise the team. You know, TGR is a professional organisation. You know, I spoke to Tommy this morning, and Tommy said he's spoken to the drivers. The drivers understand what's going on. The team understands what's going on. Don't forget, you know, it was news to us. It probably wasn't news to many of them for you know, the last week or so. They've probably seen this coming. And everything else apart from Tommy, you know, and Tommy doesn't go until the end of the year. He's there till the end of the year. It'll be a sort of transition, won't it? You know, he'll still be in Sardinia. He'll still be in Belgium. And the rest of the infrastructure remains, as they've been at pains to point out in the press release, it remains the same.
So the question has to be asked then, David, if there is very little change apart from Mäkinen, the title changing from team principal to
Motorsport advisor.
I don't know about really all the other decisions and the accounting and all the rest. That must change. It must all go, I suppose, through Germany.
I guess it's run, it's Japan, isn't
why,
it?
Why? The question has to be why. Why has it been done? Why has this decision been taken and by who?
From my understanding, it's a streamlining operation.
And that makes sense.
Of course it does.
And do we think maybe that is something to do with the current situation we find ourselves in? You know, our friend and colleague George Donaldson has been saying, really since the start of this pandemic, we are as yet nowhere near fully understanding of the financial implications.
Yeah.
Do we think the streamlining is as a result of the challenges that Toyota see ahead of them in future
quite possibly years of motorsport? And you know, there will be economies of scale, won't there? I'm sure. I know that you're convinced that they will move to Cologne.
It was a surprise, David, that they didn't in the first place. Yes, yeah. They went with Tommy, but it was a surprise that they didn't actually take the whole thing to Cologne. They have this factory, and that was my immediate thought.
Yeah. Absolutely was that they would look to move everything, and it does make sense because you look at why do they have the Estonia base? Because it's geographically it's easier, it saves them a day on the boat and everything. But actually, even better is a base in Cologne. You know, that's perfectly central in Europe. So we'll have to wait and see, but inevitably they will if they do move. And the engine, we should always say, the engine is based out of Cologne anyway. So I think, you know, that's from my understanding, that it's a streamlining operation and it will improve the efficiency of the company and of the team. But you know, the thing that I'd like to say here, Colin, is that regardless of why or whatever, one thing that does genuinely sadden me is that we won't have Tommy in the service park on every round. Okay, we've been on the last two rounds and we haven't seen him because we haven't been allowed in the service park.
We did see him.
But
at a 2 meter distance over barriers, yeah. Effectively.
And he's fabulous. Always answers the phone and is a great guy. But the service park will lose an icon. You know, when Tommy Mäkinen at the end of this year, he said that he'll still come back to some rounds next year. And you know, he does have his detractors, people who, you know, want to knock him. But for me, he is just an absolute legend of the sport. You know, a four-time world champion, and a guy who people didn't really give much of a chance to ahead of 17. Oh. And he came in, and he was he has produced the fastest rally car. His team has produced the fastest rally car in the history of the sport.
You know, he set the standards. He set the standards with his 2017 car, and the others really scrambled.
Malcolm Wilson and the Fiesta, given that they won both championships in 17, they would probably have something to say about that. But across the generation of that car, there is no doubt, no argument that as the Yaris evolved, and let's not forget that the Yaris started from scratch, as we've already covered, and it was built in a matter of months. As it's evolved, it has evolved into the fastest car of that generation.
No, that's absolutely true. So do we think that the announcement today is a reflection in any way, David, on Mäkinen personally and his performance as team principal of the Toyota World Rally Team?
But we've just answered that, Cole. You know, he won on his second outing. He then won a championship in his second year and another championship in his third year.
Is that enough with the investment they've had? Is that enough? I'm slightly playing devil's advocate here in that, you know, the announcement is fresh, it is new, it did lack detail, that's for sure, you know, and it did provoke a lot of questions and a lot of speculation.
You can find that detail on dirtfish.com with a hopefully by the time we finish this, a Q&A with Tommy and some further news to follow. But you're right, you know, it was a very corporate kind of announcement. I can see where you're going, and you know,
I'm not going anywhere, David. I'm not going anywhere. I'm asking you a question, and I am asking a question because I've seen it asked all across social media this morning. You know, the question is it a reflection on the way the team's performed?
I personally find it a very naive question in couched in that way, because look at the stats, look at the numbers. The car, you know, the car is, for me, a great return on their investment. It is. They've got themselves the fastest car in the world. What I would say, potentially, is a potential issue and something to be considered in here is the fact that they had a world champion last year in Oit Tanak who left. And I do think, and, you know, I spoke to Tommy this morning, as I say, and I asked him about, was that a factor, the fact that, you know, Oit had gone? And he said it wasn't. But we know Japanese culture very well. And if a Japanese company has created a champion, very much they would see it as a slight for that championship to leave them. And for me, that potentially, I could imagine that in some way that would have weakened the relationship between Tommy Mäkinen and Japan, because people would want to know why, you know, how come? And ultimately, Oit had fallen out with Toyota. You know, we can dance around this all day, but there were failings, you know, at key points in the championship in Sardinia, in Turkey, and all of that. And equally, you know, Oit made mistakes. You know, there's different times that he perhaps drove the car harder than he'd been advised to drive the car. And
GB, maybe. You might argue even with that jump.
Yeah, exactly. You know, he was allegedly down. He was told not to take the jump more slowly, and he didn't. And whatever, you know, there was fault on both sides. The relationship fell apart very, very publicly, and that doesn't go down well with Japan. And Japan would want to know why. You know, we've given everything to this program, and we've got this guy, this incredible driver who has got tremendous longevity to go forward and dominate for the next 4 or 5 years, and he's gone. Why?
Fastest driver in the world, no question.
Yeah,
right,
absolutely,
now.
100%. And you know why? And
David, I'm going to take you back. I'm going to take you a little back, because you did say it was a naive question, and it's a question that's being asked by lots of people, and I'd agree. But the question, I'll just remind you, was, you know, is it a reflection on Mäkinen? And you said, how can it be? How can it be when you look at, you know, the return they've had on the program, the number of wins? So the follow-up question to that, and you can tell me whether this is a naive one as well, is why change? Why change? If the return on investment is so good, if they're getting the wins they want, if the car is as good as we all see it is, why? Why change? Now, you've maybe just answered that in this cultural thing, and I suspect that is a big part of it.
But also, we've answered it in the fact that, you know, they want to streamline the operation. Now, whether that's just them feeding us a line, which I suspect there's a great big part of it that they are feeding us a line, but also, they have achieved, you know, you can't ignore the fact that if Tommy set this objective, he's achieved it. You know, he set the team up, he created a bunch of winners, and he's delivered a great car. It is, you know, what was also a very strange time for me is that from the outside, you could look at it that we're coming into a period of great change in WRC with new regulations coming in 2022. Is this the right time to have a major sort of management reshuffle at the top of your team? You'd have to say no, of course it's not. But how much direct input into the design and build of that car is Tommy having? You know, Tom Fowler is a hugely capable engineer and designer and everything, and an expert in his field. He will be leading that car. So does he need Tommy Mäkinen to develop the 2022 car, whatever shape or form it comes in? He probably doesn't.
I think you're probably right. And I think if in the coming weeks we hear of more departures, then we can get worried.
Yeah, there's absolutely zero indication of that at
correct,
all. You
correct.
Know, Tommy moves over, and you know, I think it's also important to point out the role that he played in the GR Yaris road car. You know, he did have some input into that car, and this is what it's all about for Toyota, is developing that GR brand and developing a whole new range of road cars.
Well, and more than just Toyota. You know, remember Gazoo Racing was Mr. Toyota's personal racing team.
Yeah.
So it's his legacy. It is his legacy that he is building. I may be wrong with this, but I feel it is his legacy. He's been around for a long time, and he won't be around forever in terms of the president. He's president, isn't he?
Yeah.
Of Toyota. And I suspect it's the building of a legacy. And the road car, the Yaris GR road car, is part of that legacy. And, you know, it's exciting as hell. And it's taken rallying back to where we all kind of really enjoyed it in the past with these homologation spec, the 205 GTIs, the Audi Quattros, the road
Escort
cars,
Cosworth,
Escort Cosworths.
Yeah.
You know, and we really, a lot of us didn't think that we would see the day where we had another rally-based road car. And Tommy has been instrumental in bringing that back. Mm. So in some ways, that's his legacy.
Yeah, absolutely has. And, you know, what we can't underplay here is the strength of relationship that he has with Akio Toyoda. You know, as I said, you know, we saw them in a service park in Finland together. They travelled the world together with this GT86. And when you see them together now, you know, you can't... I've only ever interviewed Akio Toyoda once in Finland a couple of years ago. And I didn't even realize he was there until he was at the event. And this is very much how it works. You know, if it fits in with his time schedule, they will fly in and he'll spend a couple of days on the event. So as soon as he arrived, I spoke to Terry, the brilliant Toyota Gazoo Racing PR lady, and said, is there any chance? No chance. It was almost unheard of for this to happen. But I sort of doorstepped him and hung around. And it was the very early Sunday morning service. And I just kept pushing and pushing gently, and eventually I got 10 minutes with him, and it was incredible. You know, he is just the most engaged president of, you know, probably the biggest character in the whole of the car world. But what really struck me was the way him and Tommy interacted together, and they were incredibly close.
And I think what's important, and in rallying, you know, it's possibly one of the most important elements. You have a man who, as you say, in terms of the motoring world, is one of the most important people in the whole of the motoring environment. Yeah. And he is a fan. He is a fan of rallying, but perhaps more importantly, he is a fan of Tommy Mäkinen.
Yeah.
And that is how it works. You know, and anyone listening to this who's a driver or has tried to find sponsorship, the best way to find sponsorship in rallying is to find a fan.
Yeah.
Because it's very difficult quite often to justify motorsport. It's difficult to justify investment in motorsport.
Yeah, and Toyota-san's never, he's made no secret of that, has he?
Absolutely,
always.
No secret. And you know, Tommy Mäkinen's relationship is what brought back an iconic rallying brand back to the absolute forefront of the sport. So, you know, I think there's a lot to be grateful and to be thankful to Tommy Mäkinen for in terms of, you know, bringing Toyota back. But if we move things on, David, what do we think this means for Toyota's future in the World Rally Championship? My personal view, it's got to be good news. They don't pay money to bring in an external element into their company unless they have plans.
It's going to strengthen it. It is, undoubtedly it will strengthen it. And, you know, like you, I could absolutely see the move to Cologne being just a good thing, because suddenly you've got, you know, you've got, if we're moving into the hybrid era, you've got the WEC program, which is based there. So much, you know, exactly, so much knowledge and data from the Le Mans car that it's immediately, you know, it's next door. It's literally go out of this office to the next door one, and there's people there that can help you with it. It definitely, for me, it would strengthen them as a team, and it shows a commitment to the championship and to the sport.
And what it does, and you know, the coming months, years, perhaps 5 years, perhaps 10 years, decade, is very uncertain just now. But it allows them to be very responsive. You know, if we do have to drastically cut budgets going forward, they are now in a position to do that. They're now in a position to rationalise their whole rally operation, to bring down the costs to an affordable and, you know, most importantly, a justifiable cost that says, you know, if we go Formula One racing, yeah, we can afford it, but we can't justify it. If we continue with Le Mans, we can afford it, we can't justify it. But if we go forward with the World Rally Championship, yeah, we can justify that.
And what it also does is it is now that, you know, the rally program falls under that bigger Toyota umbrella, not the Tommy Mäkinen umbrella just to the side of it. It means that, you know, they can implement an educational process for that. They can bring in their own talent in terms of engineers, which of course they could have done with Tommy. And we always saw a lot of Japanese engineers on the events, but now it's really part and parcel of a Japanese family, isn't it? And and you know, it really is very, very important to Japan and to Japanese engineering and stuff that they can bring these young guys through at every level of the company, and that will be far easier to implement now that it's essentially a department within TM's Toyota Motor Corporation.
I think that's absolutely important. I think that really is important, because I think you know, for the sport to grow, we need to be able to bring in new manufacturers. And I think, you know, other Japanese manufacturers will be looking very closely at all that's gone on and all that continues to go on. And I think the more direct involvement Japan has, okay, through just one manufacturer just now, but the more direct involvement Japan has in the World Championship, surely the better it has to be, and the better the chances then have to be for more involvement from Japanese manufacturers. Is that a reasonable? Am I kind of maybe going off it way too?
No, we're always, you know, manufacturers are always keeping an eye on WRC. Of course they are, and it would be tremendous to imagine that, you know, one day we will have more Japanese involvement, or perhaps more involvement from the Far East, you know, in terms of other areas as well. But I think, you know, we need to come back to the single point that actually, you know, next year, come to Monty, there won't be the one guy there who has won that event four times and can take, was it four times? I think it was. And can put everything into context. And this is why I love Tommy, is that, you know, you can go and talk to him about Sisteron, and, you know, what would you have done? What did you do? And you get this long story that's just amazing.
And the drivers completely respect his advice. They completely respect. And that's not saying that they don't respect Mr. Adamo's advice or Mr. Wilson's advice.
Yeah.
But Tommy has done something that not too many principals in the past had done.
Yeah,
you know, he competed on every round. He'd won the championship multiple times.
You know, you could see that with the way that he dealt with Elvin on Sunday, and the way that we talked to Tommy about, you know, what did you say? What did you talk about? And it was just really simple stuff. And Tommy had been there. He'd been in that position. He'd been going into, you know, a long Acropolis stage or something to defend a 45-second lead. And he knew, you know, he just instinctively knew what Elvin needed to hear. And when Chris Meek was there, Chris said, you know, you absolutely get the feeling that he's a driver. He knows what you're going through. He knows when to come to you. He knows when to leave you alone.
Here's the thing, David. You know, we are talking about, you know, whether or not this will have a negative or a positive impact on the Toyota World Rally Team. The most obvious potential negative impact is the fact that Tommy won't be there guiding the drivers in each round. So then the question is, who will? Can we start the speculation yet? There has to be a team principal. There has to be a team principal. And that team principal, if they're going to continue this success, yes, the engineering side of it taken care of. Tom Fowler, fantastic engineer. The Japanese engineers that support Tom Fowler, equally capable. The one element that will be most difficult to replace is Mäkinen's on-event guidance. You're not looking convinced, but they have to replace him with someone of similar, and I wouldn't say equal because that would be almost impossible, similar stature. I have one name already.
Go on.
No, you go first.
No, well, I'm not going to give you any names because, you know, I think there are...
Give me a likes-off. Who are the sort of person that can run that team and replace Mäkinen?
It's difficult because, you know, the undoubtedly there will be elements in the service park that might actually be quite glad to see Tommy go because, you know, there is a generation of white noise, you know, from what I can understand in some meetings that Tommy talks. And this is why we love Tommy, is because everything is a story and the stories are all great. But from my understanding, you know, some of the meetings go on a fraction longer than perhaps they might do if Tommy was not there. That's not really...
Forget that. Well, I'm not bothered about that. You know, that's not of interest to me. Who has the capability? You know, that is an important element. I'm sorry to have dismissed that. That was a little bit unfair.
No, that's absolutely fine. You want a name. I won't give you a name. But what I will say is that it is difficult because Toyota, you look at the sort of second level of management, essentially, if you like, and you've got Tom Fowler and you've got Kai Lindstrom, both on that level. For me, either of them could do a very good job as a team principal. But what is a team principal, Colin? You know, that's the big question, because if you want strategy, did Tommy do all of the strategy? He wouldn't have done it all on his own. You know, it would have been done hand in glove with Kai and with Tom.
might we see, you know, because Andrea Adamo was a massive surprise in the service park when Monsieur Nondon departed. You know, potentially there is another Adamo lurking somewhere within the Toyota ranks.
Yeah.
But I don't think so. I think we will see a name coming in because I think that is the Japanese way.
But what is the team principal? Is it a figurehead?
It is a bit of that. It is a little bit of that. But it's a figurehead who understands direction, who understands strategy, who understands the need to build relationships and work on relationships. All of these things. It is a CEO, effectively. You know, the CEO does not, you know, take care of manufacturing accounts. He does not take care of logistics to get the product out into the stores. But he can oversee it all, and he knows where it's going wrong just by looking at it and listening. You know, that is similar in rallying. You know, your team principal has to be on top of all these things, but he does have to be a bit of a figurehead. He does have to be someone who, and this is where Adamo's done a quite remarkable job, because nobody really knew him, but he has to be someone who instantly has the respect.
Commands respect
of everyone around the service park, from the media, because the media will destroy, not you, because you're a principled media person. Hopefully not me either. I have principles as well. But the media will destroy anyone who shows any weakness.
But it's not about that. It's about holding them accountable. And, you know, the one thing that you could potentially hold Tommy accountable for is the relationship that he had with Tanak, for whatever reason, disintegrating and them losing their champion. Anything else, you absolutely, for me, you can't criticise the guy at all. You know, you simply can't. Just look at the results. And if Tommy goes about getting the results in that in his own way, who cares? He gets some results, ultimately.
Yeah,
and, you know, you said earlier, could they have had more? Of course they could have had more. But it's unrealistic for me to imagine that they could have done.
No, again, it was a question that was just put out there, David. I agree with you totally. I think when we look back to 2016, when the whole Toyota project was coming together, when we look back, I think it may have been early January 2017. I don't think it was you who did the interview. It was an interview done with David Lapworth from ProDrive. Mm. David Lapworth, one of the world's most knowledgeable rallymen, most experienced rallymen, said it's fanciful to think that they will enjoy success before 3 years. It'll take them 3 years, not of just development, 3 years of competing before they will start to show anything like competitive performance. And in the first rally, podium, second rally, win, title.
But that was fair comment, wasn't it?
Because we'd seen
Hyundai struggle like hell, you know, to get anything off the ground. The ones that we hadn't seen struggle was Volkswagen, but they didn't struggle partly because they brought in so much experience and they did a season in the Skodas.
Yeah, exactly.
So they'd already competed for a season.
No, there's an awful lot. I mean, I think we will see a team principal coming in. I think.
Come on, and who's your name?
Carlos Sainz. Carlos Sainz is the man for me. I'd have said, if it was in 2 years' time, I'd have said Sebastian Loeb. But I think Carlos Sainz is the obvious one. If I was.
It's very much a hands-on role.
I think Sainz is now in a position where he can give the time to that.
He still spends a lot of time with his son. I think Carlos Jr. doesn't need him at all.
Carlos Jr.'s got his Ferrari contract. Carlos Sainz Sr. has done his work with young Jr. Nothing more he can do now with him. Carlos Sainz, I think, is in a point in his life where he may well be looking for new challenges, may well be looking for a return to something a little bit more competitive, as in, you know, competitive working environment. I think Carlos Sainz or someone of that ilk, and there aren't many. There aren't many around. You might argue there's a Gronholm perhaps, but Gronholm for me has never really showed that inclination.
No.
I wouldn't have said Gronholm, but
I couldn't imagine Marcus wanting to travelling again, and you know.
Well, exactly. Well, I don't know whether Carlos Sainz does, to be totally honest with you. But I could see Sainz doing Dakar in a Toyota. I could see him, you know, becoming actually pulling various elements of Toyota together. Circuit racing, you know, the cross country racing, the rallying. I could see him fulfilling a greater role than just team principal.
Personally, I can't see that. I can't see that he would need such an upheaval in his life right now.
Quite possibly. But who knows? You know, these people, David, they're
competitive.
They're competitive.
Fundamentally.
And they need challenges in their lives. Now, you know, I spoke to someone very close to Tommy in July who said, 5 years, give it 5 years and Tommy will be back to farming. Because that's what he wants to do. He wants to achieve as much as he can in his management career, as he did in his driving career. And you'd have to say, if you look at it, this is 5 years almost. So maybe I misunderstood what I was being told at that point. I don't know. I assumed it was another 5 years, but maybe it was 5 years.
And ultimately, I mean, you know, you shouldn't get away from the fact that Tommy built up Pupula, his factory in Pupula. He then built the place in Tallinn, and he sold them both to TMC, and he's made some money. You know, there's good money there, so he can now go away and retire and just do. But he's not actually doing any of that because, you know, on the phone this morning again, he expects to be quite involved. You know, he still will be around WRC rounds every now and then. He'll keep a close eye on the championship, and he's going to have a lot of road car work, and he's back with Acura Toyota on special projects and things. So
I think that'll be more of it. I honestly, sadly, don't think we'll see him much on events. I don't know. I may be completely wrong, but whoever picks up the mantle of team manager or team
principal
will need to be able to to have their own authority there and to be able to feel as if they're not being looked over and they're not being watched, if you like. And I suspect that, you know, if there is a name, that one of the conditions might be, this is my project, I'm looking after it, you know, and Tommy can be involved wherever he likes with Mr. Toyota, but probably not so much in the World Rally Car. The running of the World Rally Team. We'll see. I think, as you say, I think we need characters in rallying. And again, that's something we've seen, love him or hate him, with our friend Mr. Adamo, is that, you know, characters are worth their weight in gold to everyone, particularly to us in the media. And Tommy has been very, very similar, very straight talking, very open, very, very... you know, very open to picking
he's, up. He is somebody that I look forward to seeing on every round.
Yeah, exactly.
And genuinely look forward to sitting down and having a coffee with, catching up, and just, and you know, just, you know, his view wasn't always everybody's view in terms of the regulations moving forward and what have you. But it was great because he had a voice and he wasn't afraid to use it. And he provided news, stimulated conversation.
Absolutely.
And that's what we need. You know, you look back on Sunday and his point about Oit Tänak, absolutely stupid to drive slowly, you know, regardless of whether you agree, it was a very succinct perspective on something that polarized opinion. And you know, not all team principals are willing to come out and say that driver is absolute, what he did was absolutely stupid. Tommy did, because you know, he's been in this position and he's been a driver and everything, and we've lost, potentially, not potentially, we have lost it, you know, from January. It's gone. And it's, for me, that's a sad thing.
What I enjoyed, David, I have to say, was our 25 minutes talking with him in Estonia in the factory.
Yeah.
We talked about the future regulations, and he, you know, as you say, he's a man that doesn't just accept things unquestioningly. He goes away and he looks at it and he questions, and he gave us a few ideas for perhaps what the future might be rather than what he's being told it will be. And I liked that. I really enjoyed that conversation. But anyway, you know, Tommy's future, I think, is Tommy is fine. Tommy won't be too worried. But we have a lot, an awful lot, as fans of rallying, you know, to be thankful to Tommy Mäkinen for, particularly these last 4 years with the Toyota team that he's brought back into the championship. But it, you know, it does give us now a few months of plenty, I think, to talk about. We'll see how it all develops. We'll see in terms of how the structure is reshaped, and it will have to be reshaped. There's no question about that. They will try and integrate, because you're taking what is a satellite operation,
and you're integrating it into
your company. So it does have to be reshaped in that regard. You know, there might not be many changes. There might be wholesale changes. We don't know yet. We don't know. So we will watch that with interest. David, a final thought on today's pretty much bombshell. Well, the biggest bombshell for me is that you didn't know about it, and there is practically nothing in the world of rallying these days which is announced without you having at least an inkling of what, and you genuinely knew nothing about it.
That's very kind of you to say that, Colin.
But
I think there's a whole heap of stuff going on.
No.
But no, I think
it's 100% true.
As soon as we knew from that Tänak was leaving, you know, in October last year, there was then an undercurrent that maybe, you know, Japan's nose was slightly out of joint over this. And it did raise a question about Tommy's position. And equally, you know, I'd spoken to the same person that you'd spoken to, and there was always an end game and an exit strategy for Tommy here. And that's the point. You know,
you're introducing a whole new element here. I've just wrapped this up, and you're introducing a whole new element, saying that this is are suggesting, you're not saying at all, but you're suggesting that this is a knock-on from Tommy. You kind of said it.
No, I said that already. I said if there was one element that, you know, perhaps Tommy may have got wrong, or, you know, it may have been perceived that it's wrong, it was that relationship decline with Tänak.
But what we're saying is that this whole thing is a streamlining operation. What you're saying is it potentially isn't that.
No.
Am I being unfair?
Totally unfair. You know, they've said it's a streamlining operation. You know, it's our position, it's our job to question that, and we've done that. And I've suggested another reason which could have... But equally, the other reason could well be that Tommy had said, enough. And, you know, he's said that. You know, that he's said repeatedly today that this is the ideal scenario. We have to believe him. You know, if the bloke's saying that, we can't keep questioning it. There is, you know, undoubtedly... Tänak fell out with the team last year. He did. As part of the organisation, he fell out with Tommy by extension. Tommy has been very, very clear today. This is ideal. This is what he wants. He's happy. He's out at the end of the year, and he's in a new role, motorsport advisor with TMC. Great. Happy days. That's the long and the short of it.
I think you're absolutely right. I think it is the long and the short
but
of it.
But that will not stop people speculating and, you know, turning stuff over and trying to dig stuff out. And, you know, good luck with that, because frankly, you know, I'm not interested in that.
Yeah, I agree with that as well. I don't think there's any interest in that.
There's plenty of interest in it. There's no appetite for it, though.
There's interest, but is there appetite?
Appetite here is for Tommy Mäkinen, the driving god, the absolute legend, and the guy who delivered massive success on Toyota's return.
Brought a lost icon back to the absolute pinnacle of the sport.
And you know, Cole, there'll be a whole bunch of people now out there saying that we're Tommy lovers now, just like we're Andrea lovers, blah, blah, blah. Whatever, deal with it. You know, the guy is a legend.
Totally deal with it. You know, everyone has their views and all that. I think the legitimate speculation is about a new team principal, because I love a little bit of gossip and a bit of speculation.
You're wider than Mark with Carlos.
And I think that's legitimate, and I think that's where we will take our future debates.
Is it you?
Well,
is
I didn't you? Like to say, David.
It is, isn't it?
I didn't
it?
Like to
oh,
say.
Oh, my goodness. Could you possibly imagine? Oh, dear.
That's about as likely as me becoming the FIA stage end safety media delegate.
Yeah, that's reasonably unlikely.
That's a position I've created, by the way.
Yeah.
Folks, listen, thank you very much. What we would like to hear, clearly, are your thoughts as rally fans on today's breaking news. So, at Dirtfish Rally is Twitter. You are absolutely welcome to leave comments on really any of our forums. The articles, the wonderful articles that David writes on.
Don't be nasty, though. There's no need for that.
That's absolutely right.
We
like to hear your opinions, but you know what we don't like is as David says, nastiness. We do love to read your opinions. So, you know, below all of David's articles, there is the opportunity to comment on them.
Yeah, there is.
Leave some comments there, or Twitter. There'll be plenty, I'm sure, on our Instagram pages. Our videos all have the opportunity on our YouTube channel to leave comments. So do so
and
there.
And do go back and watch some of the amazing stuff from Turkey.
From Turkey, some really good stuff. Some really good stuff there.
And then go back even further and watch me beat you in a cross car.
There's a story to tell there, but that'll be saved for another day. Folks, thank you very much. It's been a very special edition of Spin the Rally Pod. And, the team will be reunited. George Donaldson, a man who, you know, you cut George Donaldson, he bleeds Toyota blood, doesn't he?
Yeah.
It'll be very, very...
Do you think, possibly, could Dirtfish be losing an expert analyst? Wow. We should have done this at the start.
There's a thought.
Should we start the podcast again?
No,
George Donaldson
no, we won't.
Is the new team principal.
Now that would ruffle a few feathers. There'd be a few people having sleepless nights over that one. But why not?
Yep.
Why not? Folks, thank you very much. It has been an interesting day in terms of the World Rally Championship. You have been listening to myself, to David Evans, on Spin the Rally Pod.